96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh music. Smart talk all day. Dear producer, you hit it right on the spot. I didn't even talk to him. It's almost like we in a gang together. But not like the mother gangs. It's more like an Anglican gang or Roman Catholic gang. More like that type of gang, you know? Not the other type of gangs. Welcome. It is Monday, the 6th of February, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Now, we got a full discussion this morning. Joining is my guest, Mr. Valentino Scrooge Brown. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Mr. Green. I take this wonderful opportunity for you allowing me to come on this wonderful show.
Absolutely. No, thank you for joining me, especially on such short notice. And joining me this morning in this conversation is Mr. Cecil Newry from Guardian Radio AM on 96.9 FM. Good morning, sir.
It's always good to be on your show, Erin. Thank you very much again for the invite. I see you have an interesting lineup. I'm very flattered that you included me in it. I can't wait until the conversation starts.
Absolutely. I just want to, there's lots in the paper, and we're going to get to that in a moment. I want to share with you all something I was thinking about all weekend. First of all, I want to say this. I have very heavy critique for the Royal Bahamas Police Force, right? I don't think they understand the impact of the lack of traffic enforcement on other aspects of our lives and aspects of society, and particularly on the economy, right? But I want to say this. The Royal Bahamas Police Force and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force need, in fact, we the people should demand on their behalf access to psychosocial services. These officers need access to counseling regularly. And they shouldn't be penalized for requesting it. It should become normal. We ask these officers to be superhuman. We ask them to maintain their demeanor, their character, their discipline, their integrity in the most extraordinary of circumstances. We expect officers, both police and defense force, to go out on missions where they encounter dead bodies, where they encounter horrific scenes, where they encounter tremendous trauma, personal, communal, psychological, and we expect them to go home, deal with their family affairs, and come back to work all shiny and new with the flick of a switch and the press of an iron. And that is unreasonable, and it is unacceptable that we would not demand that the officers have the services they need to be able to render to us the services that we demand. We want the police to treat us like their friends, but we never ask if they can even stomach relationships with ordinary people anymore because of the nature of what they've seen. Now watch this. You can say to me, man, Erin, man, some of these officers just wake a desk. What are they seeing? They share in the experiences of their fellow officers that are on the road, having not just to see these things, but to deal with them and try to bring some resolve to them. Like I tell you, I got the heaviest of critique for police. Police are super ordinary citizens and should behave as such. There is a higher expectation for the behavior of the police. But it is ridiculous to expect that type of service, understanding that they don't have the resources necessary to give you that service. I say that because the police need to be enforcing traffic controls. But I can imagine if every night this month or every other night you've been called to a scene that's so traumatic that you could cry, you just can't see the traffic offenses as serious enough to cause you to stop what you're doing. We need to be able to appreciate that. Even if we cannot accept it, we have to be able to appreciate that. Now, I can get right into it, gentlemen. I was thinking about this all weekend while I was thinking about why the boy in the truck run out the corner and pull the Dukes of Hazzard move on me on Gladstone Road. While I was sitting there thinking, how come these boy them just patched the road 3 months ago, but the patch is breaking up into holes? Think about all of that. And this is what I thought. Are Bahamians lazy? But I tell you what, I've never had a job where I didn't think was the easiest way to do this. Why work hard when you could work smart? But the Bahamas has gone from wrecking and running drugs to stealing other people's drugs to thiefing coconuts and calling it industry. Last week, I was approached by an older man as I was walking into the food store. He asked me to buy him lunch. I figured I could put something on it. The whole time, I'm thinking, I know this man from somewhere. Very familiar, but I wasn't sure where I knew him from. I was uneasy. But then I realized I was probably uneasy because I didn't know how I was going to tell this man I only spending $5 on your lunch today. So when he ordered something that was outside my personal meal budget, more than double what I intended to spend on him, I objected. And mind you, I ended up paying for it. I fulfilled his request. I didn't want to embarrass him any further than he probably already was. A senior man, I put it on a separate receipt so he could walk out the store by himself, no association with me. After he left, the store manager told me that this was at least the second time for that day that the gentleman had come into the store and solicited, right? Asked somebody to buy him some food. And then I remembered why this guy was so familiar to me. I already encountered this man twice at the bank, aggressively soliciting for help, preaching damnation on the young people trying to go grab $10 to help mom with Sunday dinner. I could be mad. In fact, I'm still mad. I'm mad. And not because it was twice as much as I spent on myself, but because we demand that people solve problems that they just cannot solve by themselves. Some problems and solutions are rooted in circumstances beyond any one individual's control. We expect unemployed and underemployed people to pay rent and bills, but condemn and vilify them when they resort to selling drugs or their own bodies for survival. When systems collapse, people devise their own strategies for survival. That's why when somebody is soliciting or begging for help, very aggressively, I don't tell them to not do that. But I tell them, man, find a joke. Find a song. Pretend you could sing knowing the people know you can't sing and try crack a joke and make people laugh. Bring something to the table. But who is supposed to help Bahamians or create an environment where Bahamians can turn their talents and dreams into their skills, into labor, their labor into jobs, their jobs into careers, and their careers into industry? Who's supposed to do that? Anyway, that's what I was thinking about all weekend as I was picking up 7,845 juju off the ground. I don't know who prayed for this cold front, but did you consider the juju before you prayed for the cold and the wind? Did you consider the mango blossoms before you pray for the cold and the wind? Anyway, they come in. It's going to be a beautiful summer. The juju's on the ground. The tamarind's in the tree. The mango blossom should be pushing out anytime soon, firming up on the tree. It's going to be a good summer. This morning, I have these two gentlemen joining me. We are going to be talking about, I guess, gang culture. And I'm asking Valentino Scrooge Brown and Mr. C questions around crime. We'll take a look at some of the crime stats given out in the 2022 crime report. And the first question I guess I want to ask is the crisis the escalation in crime, or is the crisis the lack of an effective response to crime? Last night on the Eyewitness News coverage of the latest homicide in the country, the media asked the press officer engaging the public, is this a crisis? And he offered this answer firmly, resolutely, no, we have not reached crisis proportions yet. And so I asked the question, if there is a crisis, is it the escalation in crime or is it the lack of an effective response to crime across the board from the state, the government, the police, like the policymakers, the police, and the community?
Mind you, here is Scroogey.
Yeah.
And he has the authority through his experience and his participation in governance in terms of what to do.
Yeah.
So I want to yield to him, but I want to make a point first, right?
Uh-huh.
And that point is crime comes with every developing nation. Crime comes with any metropolis. Crime is a symptom of something else.
Uh-huh.
And I hear the Prime Minister's response that he's going to be targeting crime, right? I hear the U.S. Donating more police cars to us to fight crime,
mm-hmm.
right? But I don't hear that. All that to me is addressing the symptoms, the symptom of your cancer, but not addressing the cancer itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I find myself being offended, frustrated, listening to the narrative, listening to the speeches, when I know that the problem is not being addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And if the problem is not being addressed and you're just putting Band-Aid on this cut that is gushing pus and oozing blood and whatever it is, that means they're just playing with my emotions. And now I have a different issue from having the initial wound that I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. I now have a mental crisis. Just I'm listening to them doing it, and I'm saying no one is addressing neither of my problems, my mental crisis of the ineptitude and my physical crisis of being wounded by what is happening in our society. And now I yield to Scroogey to mm-hmm. make commentary.
Well, I just want to comment. Both of you made great information just now. Both of you are correct. Ms. Green, you made a point when you said the press liaison officer was speaking, and it was asked from the press if it is a crisis, and the officer referred that there isn't a crisis. See, we can't take the word of the police officer because he works with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. His job is to protect the integrity of the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Yeah.
He can't openly come out there and say that.
Yeah.
Okay? He can't. You see, if he do that, he would get penalized.
Yeah.
You understand? He probably even get demoted.
Mm-hmm.
But for us who live in this country, we had 128 murders last year, with 100-plus murders before that, then with the COVID period. Then so if there's no crisis, we have had a sitting member of parliament killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Virgil?
Virgil Road, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have had Archbishop killed, William Thompson.
Yep.
We have had numerous police officers, defense force officers, police officers, kids, grandmothers, mm-hmm. right? 6 people getting shot.
One time. Yeah.
And we had many shooting incidents that we can relate back to.
Yeah.
And they're saying, isn't it a crisis? Well, it is a crisis. The fact of the matter why they didn't want to label it as a crisis because, you know, it happened here, happening there, but it's not happening where 100 people getting killed here, 100 people getting killed here, 100 people getting killed. But at the end of the day, when it adds up, the attempted murders, with the armed robberies, right? With the murders,
mm-hmm.
combine all of those together, we are in a crisis mode.
Mm-hmm. And you know what people would say, like I get a question, they're low on the list. People ask, well, why these people don't move out of these land?
Do they have money? Are they employed?
Right.
For them to go on the family land with a low cost home,
right.
get a small $5,000 to $15,000 loan from the government, for a low-cost home. Low-cost home right now costing anywhere from $100,000 to $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
How are these people who live in these inner-city community, right, what has been bamboozled for the last 50 years, live in a community where there's no infrastructure, no community centers, no corporations, no small businesses. Mm-hmm. So you have people living in this community from the age of 5, 10, 15, 30, 40, all in there looking for somebody to make some type of means, but can't find it.
Absolutely. There's the housing issue. Where can I go? Where could I afford to go? sometimes is an issue so much larger than themselves. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who are living in properties that belong to the estate of a family member, and it hasn't been resolved yet. And they occupy in it because they occupy in it. And to maintain the occupancy, they got to occupy. They can't go. Right? There may be nobody to come in and fill it. Who are you going to rent it to if you're running from it, right? Mm-hmm. And in many instances, people just refuse to be moved from their communities.
People love their community. You know, see, the inner city community is different from South Beach. In the inner city community, you are people who live together. They play basketball together. They talk together. And they see one another together. It's always a volume of people. Notice the difference in the inner city. You'll always see people walking around in the inner city. You go in those old areas, you don't see that. But in there, mm-hmm. you see your walks, you walk in. Downtown, you see people always walking through the crack shortcut. So mm-hmm. it's a community, it's a village. But the village has been corrupted through poverty and, and abandonment from our powers to be.
I tell people, if you're Bahamian, I have a thing. I need to live near running water. Whether it's a river, a lake with a tidal system, or the ocean. And I travel the world, and I just don't feel comfortable unless I'm near living water. And for many people, their they have that similar feeling with their communities.
That is key.
Something dies inside of them if they have to live away from where they born and grow.
The island.
Yeah.
Miss Green, we ain't no city.
And then our cultural practices, the navel string, where your navel string bury is where your heart is tied.
That's how it go.
You can't break that for many people. A community like Kemp Road, they can never even consider leaving it.
No, because they have family members. Yeah. And like you said, let me give you a prime example. You get $10,000, right? You're excited. So you leave from here to go to the U.S. just for a couple of years. Just say you get a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You wouldn't even want to spend a week after you spend 3 days. You want to come back home. Mm-hmm. But you still have money in your pocket. Why you want to come back home? Because there's something calling you back. Even though you're having all the fun, you have the $10,000 after you spend 3 days in the States. And you say, man, I want to go back. What's calling you to go back home? Mm-hmm. Something is calling you. Like you said, that's what's calling you.
Aaron, we have a text here. It says, Aaron, define what a crisis is or what constitutes a crisis mode. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Bahamian people are confused because crisis means that we go into crisis mode. That means that we use all of our wherewithal, all of our skills, all of our equipment to resolve it. But if we don't have an immigration crisis, if we don't have a housing crisis, if we don't have a crime crisis, that means all of our resolve cannot be committed, right? Mm-hmm. So first of all, the wording doesn't mean the wording constitutes that not all of our wherewithal has to be committed. But I want to say that both you and Scroogey mentioned housing, that we have a housing problem. And I'm quick to say that the Ministry of Housing is not addressing it. Mm-hmm. And some people ask, what do you mean they're not addressing? They're building houses every day. They're putting people in houses every day. But they're not. My point is they're not addressing the point that people who can't afford the down payment, people who want to be able to afford rent. Mm-hmm. Who is building the houses where Bahamians are able to afford to pay rent? Nobody is addressed in that. So therefore, they're not addressing the housing crisis. No. When I say, hey, I have $400 to pay a month, and I need a place I can rent for $400, mm-hmm. and the minister and the ministry and the prime minister and the government is not addressing those persons mm-hmm. who only have $400 mm-hmm. to pay someone to live somewhere.
I mean, look at it, absolutely. In fact, when you mentioned the low-cost housing program, the cost of the house is no lower than the cost of the average house, you know. What the government provides is an opportunity for you to qualify at a lower rate, right? Like with less criteria.
Yes.
That's it. You're paying the same amount of money, the people they're paying for the house, but you can now qualify to get the house with less income, right? And you're right. A lot of these issues, young men are unable to create an environment where they can be free of the right of crime, drugs, and all of that because they can't afford to live by themselves. And they can't afford to control the people that are in the shared living space that they're in. Right? But listen, producer, we got a caller on the line. Let's go to that caller. But that's so important.
Yes.
Because young men have to have a space in which they can be adult, but at the same time, a space where they can control
the environment.
Right. And how do you do that if you live in with people? Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
More than that, mortgage corporations are supposed to make things available for young persons who are trying to get like property and house and things like that. Isn't the mortgage corporation whole system about the poor man and trying to help them in the in whatever way they possibly could help them and getting them situated with housing and things like that?
Well,
because
listen,
when it,
go on.
Because I think when it when the mortgage corporation thing come out, I think you were minister, Ruben Ingram was in charge of it. I think when they opened it, it was supposed to be for the poor man, because normal Bahamians, regular Bahamians couldn't afford property and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And things get so active in the day and time.
What it was that it was a vehicle to enable
thank you very much, Colin.
Working class Bahamians to access mortgages that they wouldn't be able to access in the traditional banking system.
So you know you challenged the caller there. No? The caller is saying it's the mortgage corporation for poor people. And you corrected him saying that, no, it's not for poor people. That's what I'm trying to understand. It says, no, it's for working
no,
class
No, I say
people.
It's for working class people. I didn't say that working class people wasn't poor. There's plenty working poor people in this country. They waking, and that's a phenomenon. Because we don't think people who waking need help.
The middle class get knocked out now. Right. You no more middle class now. You're not happening.
There are people who waking 8 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day. They waking. They may have multiple jobs, and they still can't satisfy their bills at the end of the month.
Because they get mortgage. They get gas bill. They get cable bill. They get school fee bill. All these bills add up, and they are payment again at the end of your $35,000, $45,000. You might have a health issue with this or...
In fact, I'd having a conversation with a, I would call her a upper middle class waking Bahamian, right? And she put out there a rule, an economic rule for a young person is you go into the store to buy one thing. Mm-hmm. Look at your budget. If you cannot afford, if you don't have enough money in your budget to buy five of those things at the same time, then you cannot afford to buy one of those things. Why? Because you should be putting money away for, like you say, these basic things you should expect, auto and home maintenance, catastrophic events like hurricanes or your neighbor pipes burst and flood your yard and your house. Medical, catastrophic medical emergency insurance, insurance for your children. You should have college funds starting up, right? And so we realize that there are people who are working and are poor, cannot satisfy their bills. And so what about, like you say, now the gentleman say, what about the poor people now? Well, I think that the Bahamas Mortgage Corporation should be working with the housing ministry to figure out how to build proper low-cost homes that will be maintained by the state, right? That come along with programs to help people transition into a new culture of living.
So let me bait the two of you. And Scrooge, we grew up in the sad same neighborhood, and there are government complexes, apartments.
Yes.
And you know the apartment I'm talking about right there, right? How does one apply for a government apartment to live in? And what are the characteristics, the qualifications for you to get it? And is it something that's long-term, you're there for life? Anyone knows that? Because I know it's separate from mortgage corporation.
Yeah, totally.
Is this a social services thing?
Yeah, I think it's social services. Social services. Recommend persons who got put out or they have a connection to someone in government who knows a family that's in need. They're the one who put it in
facilitate
process.
Them, yeah. Yeah.
So I've known families who've lived there 30 years, I'm thinking, over 45 years from where we're young to inside. Now in the same government complex. How is that possible?
They're supposed to do, the person supposed to be, how would you say, it's supposed to be right down, say, look, yeah, in 15 years, this family should not be here. They only get temporary. It's the fact that the government, right, and help push these people to get a low-cost home on the family island on South Beach. So they're supposed to keep a record of them.
Man.
So time is 15 years, hey, they should be in their own houses. We don't do that because we just say, we put them in and we leave them there and then the situation just gets worse.
Look here, because then you need a program and an officer.
Yes.
There should be a temporary employment program attached to anybody that's placed in there. Even the little children could get a part-time in the the facility cleaning up.
Yeah.
But not just that. You move someone into a facility like that, the facility itself should provide the garbage bags for the tenants.
Yes.
Don't sit there and say, oh, the tenants got to... They are struggling. They trying to figure it out. Your job is to keep the entire environment up to standard so they could have a better job of figuring it out.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
I see we have a text before we go to the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, Aaron, for God's sakes, tell the guys, stop making excuses for crime. I barely have food sometimes, but I don't rob my neighbor. Same problem.
We can talk about that in a second, but let's go to these callers. Yeah. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you do?
Good morning, brother. Smooch.
Yeah, bless up, bless up.
Yeah, you know, I pass you every day. Brother, how you doing?
I reach him, man, reading the text.
Let me see if I can help you guys. You know, it ain't no such thing as no low-cost house. See, I've built many houses in this country. It's supposed to be affordable homes. I remember back in the day, I did a house, a three-bedroom bottom of $81,000. I wasn't making no money, no, because I got to do about 60% of my work myself. You see, the system failed because, see, nothing can happen in this country until we get rid of the most of the schools. I didn't know what I'm talking about. They failed us. They don't like us, no. They swear to lead to the king now. Yes, yes, and successes.
Mm.
You see, 1 8-inch lock costs now almost $3. Now, if you get an average $1,500.
How much it costs?
Drop it out. Almost $3, man. My 8-inch block. And you can need just to build a shell. You can need at least 12 to take 8-inch block. That's only the shell. Steel, everything going up. Sand and oil going up. Everything going up. Cement going up. And that's why I keep telling you guys, if we have the opportunity to fix a lot of things in this country. A lot of things. We peel a lot of land island of New Providence. The water field of that well, cut them trees down and build affordable homes and build government rental units. See, Scroogey, those houses were designed for young people to live in them, those government rental for 6 months a year and get out and get affordable home.
Yes.
That's what it's designed. See, this country's so corrupt.
Yes, yes.
And they built out there in a year time, 6 months.
Yes.
To year, they built out there, they down payment, get an affordable home.
Yes,
see,
you're right.
See, let me tell you something, my buddy.
Yes, sir.
See, let me tell you something. See, I love the Bahamas and I love my BMP, but anybody would be paying them more than $500 or $400 a month for the house.
You
hear
that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No
more
than that.
No, you're right.
They can't, you try to see all these churches, all these people competing with the government
to build up this.
People can't afford to pay no $1,500, $2,000 down for no house.
You had it on the screen, the church.
$250,000 down for a house. I ain't got it from the name. $45,000 down for him. Nobody can get it from the farm.
And if you do, it could take you 40 years to pay it off. If you're lucky, you might be then dead.
Right, and in a country where you're not a man until you could turn your own key, maturity, your masculinity, your sense of self as a male is tied into your equity.
Yes.
And how could that be? You can't be no real man if you can't afford a mortgage in the Bahamas with the fourth highest cost of living in the world.
Hmm.
And that is why the housing crisis ties, I think, directly into the roots of crime.
Of course, of course.
Thank you so much, caller. Let's go to this new caller. Good morning, caller.
Thank you. Gordon Bach again. You talk about the housing inside the housing facilities, the apartments, what they put inside the, let's say, the ghetto areas, because you get one Sutton Street in Gambrough, that's where I go.
Yes, sir.
But not inside the ghetto, the government apartment, but inside the area.
Okay.
But, you know, but that one in Sutton Street, you know, but the one to Peter Street and Brum Street, you know, but the one that makes
the difference,
you know, but
yeah.
All of the government house, you know, one, even if they're on E Street, all the pink, they call all them the big yard.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Up E Street and down E Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at all them, they ain't even maintained, and I understand that the people are supposed to be there only for like a certain amount of time,
mm-hmm.
but the government people were renting it out to these people in maintained. The one with them in Camp Broad when I was younger, it was so random. We was playing in the back, and the set us was standing up on the set, just jumping up and down. Or everybody going inside that. We ain't swallow road, swallow sign of being thing. They had to be in the hospital for days and things trying to get pumped out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's a real health hazard. In a developed country state, there's somebody is responsible for that.
Yes.
Right? Somebody's responsible for ensuring that the facilities are properly maintained.
Mm.
And if the residents are responsible for it, somebody's responsible for providing oversight and finding them if they're not doing their job.
And the big yard he talked about, look how much murders occurred in that yard.
Yeah.
Because the people started to harbor all kind of different residents in the area, and it became like a little small village,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't maintained like the caller saying. And then since it wasn't maintained, no one checking for it,
yeah.
People started just do anything they wanted to do, and the place is actually filthy.
Yeah, our environment dictates a lot about what we're going to do. And so creating an environment where people can make health is a very big
part.
All
this is a part of grant.
Absolutely. Mr. Nuri.
What the caller said, what the message was? Said this young gentleman need to stop.
Oh, they're saying they're making excuses about crime.
Yeah. If I may, I'd like to respond to Ms. Grant. For the caller or the text who said, I'm making excuses. We just had 128 murders last year.
Yeah, and we had number, what, 15?
I'm making excuses.
15 hours
I'm making excuses.
Night.
See, the thing is with behemoth people, right? You be here talking. I'm saying these things for us to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, excuses? If it's just an excuse, if I'm trying to make an excuse, it's an excuse, 128 murders, it's 50, what is it? Let me read it on the screen.
15 so far for 2023 as of last
year. 15 murders this year. And I use an excuse. I have an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. See, you people need to understand when we're trying to have a conversation and trying to explain something before you go and press that text. This is no excuse. This is real life when we're talking here. I'm not giving an excuse to nobody. But there's the excuse I could give for these people, if when they were before they were in their mother womb, the boy or girl who ended up doing it, if they were growing up properly in the community with family values, and then they have a future to go to, when they go to school, they say, you know, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be my own businessman. Yeah? It ain't like that in this inner city community. When you go to these schools, eh, and you come out, and you're in this community, it's just no community centers, no educators, no work, no playtime. All we're seeing is beliefs, children fighting, people rowing, poverty, garbage.
No sidewalks.
No sidewalks. All this going on in the community. So these are excuses. These excuses I'm talking about now that leads to 128 murders to 15
and,
murders.
And let me tell you what I mean. You could imagine you a little poor boy from a poor family, right? In a poor community. And you go to school one day and realize your boy ain't never coming back to school because somebody knock him down on the side of the road and drive off. And when they were finally brought to justice, the justice is only $400.
That's crazy.
And you expect young poor black boys to expect
and the boy
other people?
Saying excuse.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, we're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to engage these gentlemen some more. Caller, please hold the line. We got to go to this break. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
Nassau Rock and Nassau Road. Nassau's got
fidelity. We're good for you.
With so much going on in the world today, only accepting cash at your business can be risky. Let Fidelity offer you and your customers safety, convenience, and the flexibility of a fixed or mobile terminal. Take it with you. On the move and on the go, because business should never stop. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit us at any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
It's a new year, and you're super excited to start the year off right. You've made your New Year's resolutions, doing more exercising, healthier eating, saving more, making better decisions and all that. If you have information or products that encourages healthy living, promotes sound financial decisions, or even promotes a positive lifestyle, one smart decision is to advertise in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. So if you're a physician, speech, massage, or physiotherapist, own a gym, nutritional deli, or restaurant, does your financial insurance institution or credit institution have the plan for investing wisely? Then that information should be in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement. One low price gives you an ad in the supplement plus 15 30-second commercials. Interviews also available on Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, and Hot 91. Contact your account executives or the Nassau Guardian now. Start the new year right in the Nassau Guardian's Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise supplement.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. Mr. Cecil Newry is helping me today. And our guest is Mr. Valentino Scrooge Brown. Now, when I say Mr. Newry is helping me today, what I mean is this. I am just a little bougie girl from a little bougie family. Corinne Mitchell wouldn't let me off the side porch. And my adventures, my gangsterism was sneaking out of my little bougie corner to go down to Mamako and get cup and baggy because I wasn't allowed to go. Right? Like, that was the extent of my child. And so I could appreciate that I'm on the outside of a conversation, you know? I'm trying to make space so people could see how important this conversation is, how important it is to not just listen to these people today, but to listen to yourself. Because a lot of y'all like to talk about, oh, when I was young and poor, when my family was poor. But I don't think, I think you romanticizing or nostalgia, you having a type of nostalgia that sort of clouds what was really happening. Because we like to talk about, oh, we was poor and we was happy and it wasn't a problem. That ain't the same type of poverty we talking about right now. That is not it. And so I'm glad you all are here to start this conversation. Because I don't ever want to just talk about all these, boy, them, man, they just killing up each other. And they let's talk about the factors that are driving.
All that adds up to it.
It's driving this behavior. Mr. Newry, I want to, I mean, I see you see some of the questions, right? I want to ask this question. Do you think legalizing will lead to a reduction in crime?
I don't think it will lead to reduction in crime because cannabis, first of all, should have been legal from day one. You should have regulation on it at the age of 21. No one should be able to use it till the age of 21, your own consent.
Yeah.
But if it gets legalized, it would reduce crime tremendously because many of the cases before the courts are small possession of marijuana. And if you look at the many cases, you have it in the thousands. Mm-hmm. Thousands of young men getting locked up in 1 gram or 2 gram of marijuana possession.
Now, I think marijuana possession is like a community crime, right? Like a personal crime. You catch the blade them in the bush.
Yeah.
Smoking a little joint.
A lot of people smoke in the innocent community.
That's a community crime.
Yeah.
And I think not responding appropriately to that.
And like, we're not supporting it now.
Right. Drives young people to gang culture and anti-police culture.
All of it drives them into it.
Yeah.
All of them. All of that. All the components you talked about. You know, the marijuana, the beliefs. But you must remember, they go to respond to a crime.
Yeah.
And you're going in the community, Ms. Green, that has been undeveloped for many, many years.
Yeah.
No excuses for nobody. But the reason I'm saying these things is because teens make people do things. So it's not about the excuse. It's what the community itself is going to make that person do. Mm-hmm. How are they going to survive? What decision they're going to make, especially if you don't have a person like yourself or Mr. Newry guiding you in the right direction. So that's what basically.
All right. I want to take these two callers and then we'll get back to that. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Screen.
Good morning. How are you?
And good morning to your guest, Mr. Brown and Mr.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
Yes.
An excellent conversation, and I would encourage you, ma'am, to continue to engage Mr. Brown. I think he living in the area, he has a heart for the area, and he understands the areas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a product of Over the Hill area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself in a city.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a factor, that's a mindset. But Over the Hill, if you read up on Over the Hill, there was a sense of belonging,
mm-hmm.
a sense of worth. And you know, yesterday I drove through. My family still has a homestead there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are guarding that as best as we can.
Yes.
And upholding the principles of cleanliness,
mm-hmm.
godliness in every ways. There's an initiative that the Honorable Leslie Miller
mm-hmm.
is working with, along with Honorable Vaughn Miller,
mm-hmm.
with Clean Up Bahamas in essence.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you may want to engage them in that because they're going through the over-the-hill areas, especially in other areas,
mm-hmm.
cleaning them up, trying to organize some sort of program, I guess, with some kind of low-cost housing.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we may want to engage them there.
Absolutely.
But I think that we who have, who are part and grew up in the over-the-hill, we must go back. Go back and see how we can lift the area.
Mm-hmm.
the Dorset family and Lewis Street is a reflection of that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Through some outreach and whatever else, many of us go to the churches and over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
We drive in our limousines and our nice cars and sit down in pews and whatever. But let's come on those four walls.
Mm-hmm.
Let's reach out and see the heart of each person there.
Yes.
And don't be afraid and let the gangs, something, they can come and take over. No, 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 no. And that mindset of other nationalities and no, no, no. Uphold the area, Mr. Brown. Uphold the area.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I drove through yesterday and I want to encourage Mr. Nuri and you, Aaron, drive through the area. I'm pleased somewhat, Mr. Brown.
Yes, ma'am. I'm working.
I am pleased. There is some cleanup going in,
yes,
all around.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And you see, when you clear down the bush and clear down the trash and clear down the derelict vehicle,
yes, ma'am.
You clean up, you prepare people to feel good about themselves. Eh?
Yes, ma'am.
Aaron, you know what I'm talking about, Aaron?
Oh, yes, yes.
You understand that.
Absolutely.
Let's continue to promote that part.
Yes, ma'am.
Because, you see, when you come from it, when you come out, we grew up cleaning the yard and sweeping the yard before we went to school, before we went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a pride about ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
So continue to work, ma'am, and continue to engage at Mr. Brown.
Yes, ma'am.
He is doing a great work. He knows who I am.
Yes.
He is doing a great work. I encourage every church, everyone who grew up in those over the hills, let's not stop talking about how our country going down. Let's say, how can I help my country?
Come up, yes,
outreach,
ma'am.
Initiatives, volunteerism, upkeep.
Yes.
I'm
going to
be putting forward a program that may help everyone doing their little part, and we're going to have a better, stronger Bahamas.
Yes.
This Bahamas belongs to me and all of us. I have no other country I can call my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not allow it to be taken by anyone.
Mm. Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
I'm going to do my part to guard it.
Absolutely.
To the honor and glory of God.
Thank you
encouraged.
So much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr.
Yeah, and thank you. And thank you for sharing that word for all of us this morning. Producer, let's go to the next call. There we go. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning, caller. Okay, good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Scrooge.
Hey, Sparky. I see you in the Super Bowl. You're spending all the money.
There's a man, Scrooge, been talking about these things when he started his show.
Yes, sir.
I'm just like the lady just said. I'm from a generation above Scrooge and below Mr. Christie and those.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mr. Christie will be about 80 this year. I'll be 72 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Scrooge is behind me, the next generation. All of us came from over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And much of us came from the north side of the ridge on the Bay Street side. We came from the south side, and name any hill from Forks Hill, the Hawkins Hill, the East Street Hill, any hill, we've all us from the south side. When Wolf Road was only a bush track road, I know but that. When the grove, the coconut grove in the back there, they used to call that the coconut grove, not just the grove. Okay? I started in Chippenham, moved to West Street, from West Street into the valley, from the valley to Seabreeze, now down in Pride Estate. And we all watch this country grow, and sometimes we got to sit down and listen to the people. Like Scrooge said it, and you said it, our people, once they make it to the top of Hawkins Hill and gone over to the north side, around the Cable Beach, the Old Fort Bay, anything, Vinton, South Susie, once they get to the north side, they forget the south side. Most of them don't even travel down on Wolf Road in the Grove. Robertson Road, Howard Road, they don't travel that area no more. They go Bay Street, Shirley Street, they might come as far south as Kelly's Lumber Yard.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go no further south unless they get on the highway to go into the airport. They forget their own people, and I talk about our black people. They come to us and they beg us to vote for them to go over the north side on Bay Street. Once they get over there, they forget us for 5 years, then they come back again. We need to stop doing the same thing repetitiously if we expect any changes. The man Einstein said, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, you're going to get the same results. That's a sign of insanity.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm Miss Rain. Let me tell you, I was out last night by Funky in Forks Hill. I was there in Forks Hill with your wonderful Uncle Steve.
Yeah.
We hung for a few those little bottles there. And had a little wine and things like that.
Y'all don't ever buy a ginger ale from Miss Green.
To listening to one another and stop trying to be the top of the hill all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We got to get this community before we know it. We can see some strange people who ain't born here, who don't talk like us, can take over our country. And we ain't going to know it till we wake up one morning and the man say it again. There's more us here than y'all.
But look here, the Canadians are coming, Sparky, and we can't stop them. The Canadians are coming. We can't stop them. You ever been to Canada? Yeah? That's near Canada, but it ain't quite Canada. Anyway, Sparky, I really appreciate what it is that you're saying, right? I ain't dissing. And I can tell you why. We can have the conversation without throwing any blame. Yeah. My parents, Sparky's peers, were told, your role is to now go out, now that you're professionals, you go into college, you train, you're professionals. Your role is to come back home and grow the country by moving out into the country and developing it, that's buying right. land, building houses. That was the mantra, that was their charge. But when they got the job and got the mortgage and found a piece of land outside of their homestead community, a vacuum was created. And people just fill that vacuum. There's no judgment, there's no blame. When a vacuum is created, when nature abhors a vacuum, it will be filled instantly, right? And so we know this is a part of what's happened. People, as a part of national development, moved out of their communities. The step we miss is that we don't have a plan. We didn't have plans.
There you go.
And we need to get back to community planning.
And this was the plan. Oh, I should remember this. Square deal. That's what we need to get about. We have had the plan, but it's a square deal.
I don't know what that mean. You don't hear them things over the ridge.
Square deal.
Sparky doesn't tell you.
It's an American term. Fairness. And with which president was?
Oh, FDR?
FDR.
And was over here too.
Yeah. Oh, what you say?
It's like, when we wake, to get the government elected, we were supposed to get a square deal, means crime.
Low cost
home, free of charge. That's a square deal.
Yeah.
That's to give all this equal opportunity. And all this is the reason why we're in this position today, because we went against our square deal.
I got you.
And like you said, we don't know where to start, but we already have the right solution, but we don't know where to start, because the people to the top are taking the advice from the wrong set of
There's no internal consultation. You got to ask the people what they want and how they want it. No matter how good your idea is, if it doesn't reconcile with their ideas of themselves, it'll never work.
Because I just want to go real quick.
Yeah.
We saw just last week, we had the prime minister and the former prime minister. One was the human menace. He was the prime minister, and he was actually a doctor. He was criticizing Brave Davis, and Brave was criticizing him. But on that, both of their watch, both of them were in parliament, both of them served, but yet still, this ain't happened.
Yeah.
You're not talking why we can't get nowhere. They know what the problem was. Dr. Menace is a doctor, and he didn't use his resources as the prime minister to go and repair or build new hospitals. But yet still, he could come back and challenge Brave Davis. And Brave Davis served under Mr. Christie for 2 terms, and he say he ain't know the conditions about the hospital. So that's what I'm talking about right there.
And these spaces are the spaces that drive crime, the lack of access to health care.
And let me read this, because I know we're running out of
time. It says,
morning, Lady Green. Blessings to Valentina Brown and CA. If everyone were to listen to all the past shows over the years of Mr. Valentina Brown inside the city, all the answers and solutions are there. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is to carry them out. But we only want to listen to big, bougie people. I'll let you finish that.
So for the text, not that one, but the one who said excuses, the excuses that I'm talking about right there, what I talked about right now.
Absolutely.
So we talk to excuses.
Now, Mr. Newry, can we ask Mr. Brown to stay for a minute?
Yeah, man, I have another whole hour go. He can stay for the whole show.
And I could fulfill the requirements. I could feed him. I have 7,844 juju in the back of my car because the wind was not playing this weekend.
Thank God for the rain.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Producer, you could take us to that break. Scrooge.
Hey.
Thank you. We got to bring the relevant voices to the table.
It's most important because you all talk about on your show. the local people. Local people are the most important people that you support us on the show because we have the solutions to the crime country's problem.
Absolutely, because they're the problems you face. Yes. Producer, take us to the break. Guardian Radio AM and Cecil Newry is up next.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. But I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 Nassau, Bahamas.